All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. Now, as I have done on several occasions, because some of my texts are quite lengthy, I'm not going to actually read the text, but we will probably read through most of it as we go along. We may not read it all, but we'll read a lot of it. Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18 is the account of Moses and Jethro, his father-in-law, meeting one another after God had delivered Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Jethro has both critics and abusers. There are those who criticize Jethro because they say he was nothing more than a pagan king trying to interfere in God's business. I want to avoid that, because that's just not so. But there are also those who abuse the account of Jethro. And I'll try to give you just a couple of examples. And this is not my message, but just a warning. There are those who use the account of Jethro to support their ecclesiastical hierarchies. They say, we know these things are not actually commanded in Scripture, but look what Jethro did. Look what Moses did. There are those who use it to justify their missionary boards, Sunday school classes, and all sorts of other things. The New Testament tells us as believers exactly how we're to worship when we gather together.
Yes, sir.
It tells us exactly. Paul even told Timothy, I wrote you this letter so you know how to behave yourself in the house of God. Isn't that what he said? So Jethro has his critics and his abusers, but let us avoid both. I want to give you seven observations. Let's get right to it. Number one, it's not actually found in the text per se, but we see in the account of Moses and Jethro, we see God's eternal predestinated purpose.
Yes, sir.
God ordained these events even before the world began.
Yes, sir.
Remember, Moses had to flee Egypt. Where did he flee to?
Yeah.
The land of Midian.
There you go.
That's where he fled to. He flees Egypt. He helps Reuel's daughters. Reuel and Jethro are the same person. Reuel, or Jethro, gives Moses one of his daughters to wed.
Yes, sir.
And even more than that, Moses keeps Jethro's sheep for almost 40 years in the desert. Moses and Jethro knew one another.
Yes, sir.
Moses and Jethro was quite acquainted with one another. So much so, and we're not given the account of what happened or even why it happened per se, but as Moses then goes back to Egypt to deliver Israel out of bondage, he begins by taking Zipporah and his two children with him. But somewhere along the line, he sends them back to Jethro. But also, when Moses was with Jethro in that wilderness for 40 years, Moses is encountered by, he doesn't just encounter, he is encountered by a burning bush where I am resides.
Amen.
Does he not?
Yes.
Where I am resides. That's the first thing.
Secondly,
let us see, Jethro sought no self-glory. Verse 27, the last verse of the chapter. And Moses let his father-in-law depart. And he went his way into his own land.
Right.
Now, if you will compare that with, I'm not going to turn back and read it or look at it, but you compare that with Numbers 10, 29 through 32, we find that Moses pleading with Jethro to stay with them. Now, here's where I talk about abusers. Some people say, well, I don't have to really be a part of the people of God. to be a child of God. You'll either be a people, you'll either be a part of the people of God, or you are not a child of God.
Amen.
You remember the Gadarene demoniac?
Yes, sir.
Christ saved him.
Yes, sir.
Saved him from demons.
Amen.
And he wanted to continue along with Christ. Did he not?
Yeah.
And Christ said, no, you go back to your home.
You
know what he told him?
Amen.
You go back to your home. He was not suggesting to the Gadarene demoniac that he not be a follower of himself, of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are times when God Almighty puts people in specific places for specific purposes, and this we see with Jethro.
Yes, sir.
He shows back up on the scene, brings Moses, his wife, and sons back, and then disappears back off the scene again.
That's right.
Thirdly, Jethro had integrity. Look at verse 2. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and that's all we're told about it. That's all we're told about it. And her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, I have been an alien in a strange land. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father said he was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto the wilderness, Moses in the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her. You see, Jethro could have hung around and gotten him great glory, because Moses said, you even know this land. You could be a guide to us. And Jethro says, no. How many preachers today would not go for that deal?
There you go.
Hmm? Yeah. You see, it's amazing to me. You hear accounts or stories, some of them may be stories, of how a preacher moves from one place to the other. Pastor's here for a while, then goes to another place for a while. Pastor's there for a while, goes to another place for a while. Scripture never speaks in those words.
True.
It just does not. And the amazing thing is, usually when some pastor or preacher leaves one local assembly and goes to another assembly, it's always one that has more people and more money. I've never found one. I'm not saying there are none, but I've never met one that left a big assembly and went to a small assembly where he even had to work to help out pay the bills.
Yeah.
How many? No. I think I mentioned this to you the other day. I was online checking some stuff for work on YouTube. And of course, sometimes when you begin to look at YouTube, it'll give you things outside of the category that you were originally looking at. Well, I seen the world's top 20 richest preachers.
Yeah.
And I said, I got to check this one out. I want to let you all in on something. I wasn't on that list. Here's number 4, though. Moses had great respect for Jethro.
Yes, sir.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Verse 7, and Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah.
He showed him profound respect,
yes,
and love, and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare. And they came into the tent. I know, as Earl used to say, there's a naked savage behind every tree, waiting to attack, waiting to stab you in the back. But let me tell you, we are all naked savages by nature.
Exactly. Amen.
We all, by nature, hide behind the trees.
You're right.
We all are like Adam and Eve, and when our sin, our rebellion is discovered, we'll seek to cover up our own shame and nakedness. Moses was glad to see Jethro. Was he not? He was glad to see Jethro. But here's something more. There's something much more than these first 4 things. Jethro heard. When you read this, if you read it, did you read that? Look at it, verse 1. When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard.
Yeah.
You see it? That caught my attention as I began to read this. Jethro heard. And what did he hear? He heard what God had done.
Amen.
He didn't hear what God was going to do. He heard what God had done. That's my title. That's my subject. Jethro heard. Oh, what a glorious day it is if God gives you ears to hear.
Amen.
I'm talking about more than just hearing a man preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul put it this way to some people, and he said, you can know whether you're one of the elect or not. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
He said, knowing, brethren, your election of God. Now, how in the world can you know that?
Exactly.
The election took place before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we're not told that that book will be opened until the final end of all things. How could you know you're one of the elect of God? He said, for our gospel came not to you in word only. Now, it must come in word.
Yes, sir. Amen.
God's not going to preach to you the gospel in your bed while you sleep tomorrow night.
You're right.
He's going to send the man that he's ordained. Yep. And he's going to send that man to preach to you the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And you may hear it verbally. You may see it written down in text. You may hear it on a tape. So somehow you're going to hear. But it's going to be more than word. For our gospel came to you not in word only, but in what? Power. And in much assurance. Assurance about who God is.
Amen.
Not about myself. You know, I'm not criticizing. I understand that desire. I need assurance.
Yes, sir.
My assurance is seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
He is my forerunner.
Yeah.
And he has entered for me, or I will never enter at all.
Yeah.
And my assurance is seated there. Yeah. Assurance is not how you feel.
Exactly.
And that's why we become so downtrodden and so long-faced, is because we look at ourselves for assurance. And we don't believe God, that the Son is seated, exalted, at the right hand of God the Father. There making intercession for us.
Amen.
Jethro heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt.
Amen.
The gospel is a message of this ilk. The work of reconciliation, the work of redemption, the work of sanctification, the work of, I think I said reconciliation, the work of perfection is already accomplished.
Amen.
Jesus Christ did not die to make anything merely possible.
That's right.
Amen. That is a message straight from the lips of the devil and his minions.
Exactly.
That says Jesus Christ came and died to make something possible. If you or me or you will then do something. That is Antichrist religion. Antichrist religion is not against Christ. It just rejects God's Christ. And even the Christ himself said they're going to arise many Christ.
That's right.
Hmm? And there are probably thousands of them going to be preached this very day by that many false prophets. Jethro heard. What did Paul say? Faith cometh by hearing. That's what he says.
Yes, sir.
Now, it's not faith comes into existence, because faith exists in God eternally.
Amen.
And faith is God's gift to men and women.
Amen.
At his sovereign pleasure.
Yes, sir.
Faith is a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Because faith intrinsically resides in God and in God alone. Therefore, this faith that is connected to salvation must be given to an individual. But God gives it in hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the Greek is clear, it's the Word of God being preached.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, I had faith before I ever heard the gospel. Really? Now, how did you figure that one out?
There you go.
Huh? Mm-mm. Yeah. No. Jethro heard. Now, he heard before he came. He came because he heard.
There you go.
You see it? And that's the order.
Yeah.
You got a lot of people today that come and they ain't never heard anything yet.
Exactly.
They're getting thousands to walk aisles and pray prayers, and they've never even heard who Jesus Christ is and what he accomplished at Calvary.
Yeah.
Jethro heard. Again, look at chapter 18 and verse 7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other the welfare. They came into the tent. Now, here they are in the tent. Now they're relaxing.
Yep.
You know, taking it easy. And Moses told his father-in-law. Moses came. You see, when God Almighty saves you, you got to tell somebody else. You know, David mentioned it, I'm paraphrasing, but I tried to keep this in, David said. And everything inside me just roared.
Yeah.
Just roared. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. Moses did not sugarcoat what had taken place.
No.
Now, you remember I told you this a couple weeks ago. And never forget this. There were hundreds of Egyptian soldiers drowned in the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And probably the greatest majority of them had wives and children at home. Now, do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Moses was not sugarcoating what took place here. God drowned those men in the Red Sea, and their families suffered the consequences of Pharaoh's rebellion.
Yes, sir.
Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. Let me tell you something. You cannot start to read this Bible unless you already have preconceived prejudices. You cannot read this Bible and say that God treats all men equally.
That's right.
You cannot. Now, God treats all men fairly.
Yeah.
He will either punish men and they will suffer the fruit of their own doings, or he punishes men and women in the person of his Son, and they then will enjoy the merits of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
But he does not do the same thing for everybody.
No.
Yes, and some of us talked about this here a while back, and people are looking for phrases. We all like to, we actually think we can come up with one or two words that's really going to explain God Almighty. And that's what I've been talking about. I say we come up with these words. We think, oh, I've got something. And listen to me. It says, he causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust.
Yeah.
But sometimes he drowns some people with that rain.
That's exactly right.
See, we're always looking for that. Is that benevolent, whatever, gracious? What? Sometimes the rain drowns people. Sometimes the rain floods fields and kills crops and people die of starvation.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then sometimes God feeds us. Amen. And we don't deserve to be fed. God lets us enjoy the beauties and the bounties of this world.
Yes.
Though it's tainted and marred by sin, it's still a glorious place. Look around you at the stars. Mars ain't like this.
Exactly.
The sun ain't like this. Huh? Jupiter ain't like this.
Right.
And God does this for us even when we spit in his face.
You're right.
Does he not?
Yes, sir.
Moses told his daddy-in-law everything. You see, my responsibility is to tell men and women who God really is.
Yes. Amen.
If they do not like it, that's their problem.
Yeah.
If they take it out on me, that's their problem. I may suffer the consequences of it. You may suffer the consequences of it.
Yep.
If you lose your job because of the truth of the gospel, that's their problem.
Yes, sir. You're right.
They will give an account to God one day.
Yes, sir.
You see, Moses was the, oh, God loves. Moses did not tell the Egyptians, smile, God loves you.
That's exactly right.
Because God did not love the Egyptians.
Amen.
He loved Israel.
Yes. There you go.
He loved Israel. He loved Israel. You see, no truth of God is taboo. You hear what I said?
Yeah.
No truth of God. And I'm not saying there are many truths. There is one truth, but there are many different facets of it. Yes, but no truth of God is taboo.
That's right. Amen.
Now, it's on tape. I think it recorded. But I mentioned something one Sunday, many Sundays ago. And the young man had been in our midst for several months. I'd even baptized him. And I made a statement along this line. And it's there. It's probably taped. You can go back and hear it. I made a statement along this line. I do not believe there's one single baby in heaven.
Yeah.
That started off a firestorm.
Right.
I mean a firestorm.
Yeah.
That young man, to my own ears, accused me, said, I heard you say that God was stoking the fires of hell with the souls of little babies. I never said no such thing.
Exactly.
Now, I could go on to say, I don't even believe there's not nary one 100-year-old invalid in heaven.
There you go. Exactly.
Does it make any more sense to you now?
There you go.
I don't believe there's not one crippled person in heaven.
There you go.
Does it make any more sense to you now?
Yeah, that's right.
I didn't say babies don't go to heaven.
Yeah.
I said, they ain't one in heaven.
Amen.
Do you want to be that big for eternity?
Exactly.
But we hate the truth so much that there are certain parts of God's truth that is taboo to our religious natural minds.
Yeah, you're right.
And when we hear a man try to state it as honestly and straightforward as possible, we'll use it as fodder against not believing what that man preaches about God.
Yes, sir.
And that young man, apart from the grace of God, will perish without God.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's it. Now, number six, let's see faith flourish.
Yes, sir.
Flourish.
Amen.
Faith flourishes because of God Almighty's power.
Amen.
Because of his graciousness, because of his compassion, not because we're so good with faith.
No, that's right.
It's not because we're so wise to take the faith God gave us and really do great things. Christ said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could just say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And I still hadn't been able to do that yet.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I haven't been able to do that yet.
Yeah.
And he said, that's just the faith of the grain of a mustard seed.
Yeah.
But bless God, at least thank God I got some.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
But faith flourishes. And I will show you how faith flourishes right here in our text. First of all, verse 9, and Jethro rejoiced.
Yes, sir.
That's where it's at.
Amen.
And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hands of the Egyptians. One thing that faith cannot help but do, that's rejoice at God Almighty.
Amen.
And rejoice at God Almighty as God Almighty is.
Amen.
Not as I want him to be, but as he is. You know, most people in this country, we are flooded with, we have, what is it, Dish Network, whatever it is. And there are probably 50 channels of religious shows. And we just got the cheapest package you could get. And I've looked at a few of them. And those people don't know who God is.
That's exactly right.
They're not preaching who God is.
Amen.
Therefore, the people that are hearing them don't know who God is.
Exactly.
And they cannot know who God is because they ain't yet heard who God is.
Amen.
Oh, God, cause some folks to start to hear.
Amen.
To hear.
Amen.
To hear. Faith rejoices. And I go to this passage. I thought, Walter, you can't go to that passage again. And I said, well, wait a minute. It's God's word. We are the circumcision, Paul said, that rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now, if you don't rejoice in Christ Jesus, you don't know Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you don't know Christ Jesus, you are not saved.
Amen.
It is that simple.
Yeah.
It is that simple. We are the circumcision which rejoice in Christ Jesus, and one other facet of it,
yeah,
and have no confidence in the flesh.
Amen.
Now, if you say you rejoice in Christ Jesus, but you've got confidence in your flesh, you ain't met the Christ of God yet.
Exactly.
You haven't met, you haven't heard here and down in here.
That's right.
The Christ of God. You might have heard the truth preached all your life.
Oh, yeah.
But if you think there's 1 ounce of good in you, in your flesh, in your old self, you don't know Jesus Christ yet.
Amen.
Now, there are times when even the believer may start to veer a little off course on that. But God will quickly bring you back because he'll let you see what your flesh is really like.
Right.
He'll give you a Peter moment.
Yes, sir, he will.
And he'll turn the devil or one of his minions loose on you. And they'll let you see exactly what your flesh is. Amen. You will curse and deny that you even know the Lord of glory when you know you do.
You're right.
Huh? Yeah. Or he might give you a Job moment. Job was a man that feared God,
yes,
that avoided evil, but God will teach him some things.
Yes, sir.
How proud you really are down inside.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because exactly right.
At the end, Job says, now, wherefore I hate myself.
Amen.
I repent in dust and ashes. Why? Because he said, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear.
Yeah.
He talked about his physical. I mean, him and his buddies knew about God, talked about God.
Yeah.
Believed in God. But he said, now mine eye seeth thee.
Amen.
In other words, God crossed his path.
That's right.
And God showed Job what he was really like in and of himself. Faith rejoices in Christ and is very, very careful to rejoice in any human effort whatsoever. Yes, God works in his people both the will and the do of his good pleasure, but sometimes I don't know the difference.
There you go, exactly.
Because there's sometimes you may think you've been the most compassionate person that ever walked the face of the earth and you did it out of pride of heart.
There you go. You're right.
You ever witnessed to somebody and then come away and thought, well, I did pretty good there. Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
There you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Faith rejoices, but faith does something else too. See it flourish. Faith blesses. And Jethro said, verse 10, blessed be the Lord. Our blessing of God does not even add one speck to God's glory.
That's exactly right.
Our blessing of God is giving God the rightful praise for who he really is.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
That's what blessing. He is God blessed forever. Amen.
Amen.
But Paul put it this way. Blessed be the God and Father. Blessed. Blessed be the God. What? Why? Because he chose us in Christ before the world began.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe that. Then you don't bless God for who he is.
There you go. Amen.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Well, he predestinated us in the adoption of children. I don't like that. I've never heard of that preacher. Then you ain't heard the gospel yet.
There you go.
You ain't heard the gospel yet. We bless God for his electing love, his predestinating love. We bless God for his redeeming love. And I mean real redeeming love. I don't mean he died on the cross so you might be redeemed if. I mean he died and redeemed the people at Calvary. Do you believe that or not? He reconciled some people. He has forgiveness of sin. He forgave their sins when he died on that tree.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's what Colossians says. Now they come to realize it and experience it in time by conversion experience. But he forgave me, Joe, when he died on that tree. As a matter of fact, he forgave me in Christ. God did before the world began based upon what Christ would do in time.
Amen.
He did all that back in eternity.
Yes, sir.
God's never been angry with the elect of God.
Exactly.
God's always been on the side of the elect.
Amen.
Always.
Yes.
Any wrath between men and God, if it's the elect you're talking about, was always coming from our side.
Yeah.
It wasn't coming from God's side. The elect have never been under wrath. We are the children of wrath, and that means the wrath comes from us.
Yeah.
We're the ones that were angry with God.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Not only that, faith, see faith flourish, faith submits to sovereign authority.
Yes, sir.
You know, look at it. Verse 11. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For, look, for in the thing wherein they, he talked about the Egyptians is the last mentioned phrase, where they dealt proudly, he, that is God, was above them.
Amen.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
Huh? He might have just been an old heathen priest, but God had opened his eyes.
Yes, sir.
And opened his ears.
Right.
Do you see it? Do you see it?
Yeah.
Those that walk in pride.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar, a very proud man, learned that lesson.
Yes,
as we might say, the hard way. But oh, thank God, teach me that lesson one way or the other.
Yeah. Amen.
And he said this about God. Nobody can stay his hand.
Amen.
Nobody can say unto him, well, what are you doing, God?
That's it.
And he said this one other thing. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Now, that is a profound theological statement, but it's as simple as could be. Those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. So if you've got a proud man or a proud woman still on the face of the earth, it's only because God hadn't abased them yet.
Amen. Exactly. That's it.
Because if he has purpose to abase them, abased they will be.
Amen. Exactly.
Why? Because he's able.
Amen.
That's the one thing. You remember that leper? That's the one thing he was not doubtful about was Christ's ability. He said, the only thing he wasn't for sure about was his will.
Amen.
His will. He said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He did not doubt Christ's ability to do it at all.
No, sir.
He just did not know whether Christ would be willing to do it or not.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Shouldn't he have been taught all through the Old Testament how God loves everybody? And God's willing to try to help everybody? Because that God don't exist. That God is a figment of men and women's imaginations.
Right.
That God is the lie of Antichrist.
Yes, sir.
And faith then, verse 12, acknowledges substitution and satisfaction.
Yeah.
And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God.
Amen.
And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. You see, God's people, let me tell you, when God Almighty saves you, you ain't going to have no problem with the fact that Jesus Christ didn't die for me. I'm a goner.
That's right.
And if he did die for me, I'm okay.
Amen.
And I will praise him.
Yeah.
I will bless him. I will rejoice in him. I will submit to his sovereign authority. And I will acknowledge his substitutionary satisfaction at Calvary. God, give me grace to do so as long as these lips are able to speak.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the fact that Jesus Christ died for his sheep and his sheep only.
Amen.
He said, I lay down my life for the sheep.
Yeah.
It says that God Almighty purchased the church with his own blood.
Amen.
Now there's no need to say that unless it's just the church.
That's exactly right.
Yes or no?
Amen. Yes.
Yes or no? Paul puts it this way. God reconciled us even when we were enemies. How? By the death of his son. That happened not 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
It's a done deal. Now here's the question. Do you believe him in that? Do you believe he really did that? Does it rejoice you? Does it cause you to bless God? Does it cause you to submit, bow down to God's authority? Do you love to gather with others and talk about it?
Amen.
Here's this old heathen priest.
Yeah.
Now sitting down with Moses, Aaron, and the elders of Israel before God.
Amen.
Before God. Here's number 7. Faith seeks relief from heavy bondage for anybody involved in faith. Yeah. I'm not going to read it. You'll see that in chapter 18, verses 13 through 26. If you go over to Acts chapter 15, you'll find Peter calling the law this. It was a bondage, a noose, chains that neither we nor our fathers were able to bear.
Amen.
Jethro tells Moses, this is too much for you.
Yeah.
Now see why Moses was on that mount
yeah.
and went up there and was holding up his arms.
Yeah.
God had just taught him that lesson, didn't he?
Yeah.
Every time Moses' arms start to come down,
yeah.
had that staff in his hand, arms start to come down, what happened? Israel would get whipped.
That's right.
Israel would be getting the bad end of the stick. And what did Moses have to have? Help.
Exactly.
Did he not?
Yes, sir.
Aaron and Hur and a stone.
Amen.
Now here, his father-in-law comes, and Moses is sitting there all day long the next day judging one case after another.
Yep.
Jethro says, you can't do this alone.
Exactly.
True faith acknowledges human weakness and frailty.
Yes, sir.
Even amongst those specifically sent of God.
Amen.
You see it? Moses was God's man.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, Moses, when he died, still could see just as well as he could see when he was really young. And he still was a very strong man. But Jethro knew human frailty. Moses, you can't do this alone. Now, some say this was bad advice, but not according to Moses. Because you go back and look at Deuteronomy 1, verses 9 through 18, he really reiterates, I needed this help.
Yeah.
Huh? Notice they don't argue about it.
Uh-huh.
If you look at the whole context, after he told him this, he said, Jethro, why don't you hang around? Jethro says, no. I'm going back to Midian. Now, you know what? The gospel went back to Midian with him.
Yes, sir.
But we don't know of one other person that it ever affected. I'm not saying it didn't. Do we? The Midianites were still enemies of Israel for years.
Yep.
But here's one old Midianite priest.
Yes, sir.
That God had allowed him by his grace to what? Hear something.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me close this up. Faith is not rash. He watched Moses do this from the morning till the evening. He watched all day. He didn't just jump right in. Now wait a minute, Moses, you ain't doing this right. Mm-mm, it's nothing like that. Faith knows human frailty, but faith also seeks spiritual life. I've got to read you this one. Verse 21. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men such as fear God.
That's right.
Men of truth and not looking for something under the table.
There you go.
Hating covetousness, and place them over. Do you see it? It wasn't just, we'll just pick out the best looking one, the strongest one. Had nothing to do with that, did it? What did it have to do with? Fearing God, loving truth, and hating covetousness.
Amen.
That's what faith does. That's what faith is. Now, yet, Jethro tells Moses, you're not going to make it to the land, you keep doing all this on yourself.
Yeah.
Now what he told him? You read it. You read the passage. But you know what? Moses never did bring the children into the promised land.
That's exactly right.
Two reasons why. One, the mount of God intrudes into the account.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mount of God. It intrudes. We're going to see it in the next couple chapters.
Yes, sir.
The mount of God comes in. God comes down on that mountain, issues forth law after law after law.
Yes, sir.
And the people immediately do what? Worship a golden calf.
Amen.
But you know, they did not enter the promised land because of that. Did you know that? The reason they didn't enter the promised land,
yeah.
it's called unbelief,
yeah.
is when they came up to Kadesh Barnea and they sent them spies in. 10 of the spies came back and said, we can't do this. Two faithful ones said, we can do this. God's give this to us. Let's go. Let's move in on them. And the people rebelled against God there in unbelief. And that's why they did not enter the promised land.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And Moses didn't lead them in. Moses will never lead you into the promised land. The law of God will never get you to the promised land. However you want to symbolize the promised land, whether you symbolize it as salvation, whether you symbolize it as struggle, no matter what you, God calls it rest.
Yes, sir.
Rest. You will never enter the rest by Moses.
Exactly.
You'll never enter the rest by the law. You can only enter the rest by Joshua,
yeah.
Jesus,
yes.
The fighting Savior.
Amen.
If we are to get to Joshua, the book of Joshua, you keep finding this phrase over, and Joshua whipped this one. Now, it's not the right, it's not, I'm paraphrasing. Joshua won this battle. Joshua did, wait a minute, he had all kinds of other men with him, but Joshua gets the glory.
That's right.
Why? Because it's a type.
Yeah.
God's teaching us a lesson. Jesus Christ gets all the glory because he's the head.
Amen.
He's in charge. Think about two things. Faith never dictates God's eternal predestinated purpose. There are people who think you've got enough faith, you can move God to do this or whatever you want. That ain't the way it works. Jethro told Moses, verse 23, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so.
Yeah.
He was bowing to God's will, was he not? He said, now here's my advice, but this is up to God. Isn't that what he just said there?
Yeah.
If thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall go to their place in peace. But they didn't.
Exactly.
Not because it was bad advice, but because faith, no matter how great it is, and it is great, doesn't dictate God's eternal purpose.
Amen.
Here's what faith does. It bows to it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It bows to God's eternal purpose. And often God's eternal purpose looks like, how is the end ever going to be reached?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Those Jews, those Israelites, went around and around and around and around,
yep.
And around for 40 years.
Amen.
And everybody 20 years and older died as they were going around and around. And around and around. But Hebrews puts it this way. Somebody must enter therein. I want to be one of those people, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Hmm? The only people that we're are those who hear,
yeah.
And believe. But remember what believing is.
Yes, sir.
We talk about it over and over again. We talk about what believing is. And somebody still said, well, preacher, just what am I supposed to do about this circumstance or this thing? You know what you're supposed to do. You know what you ought to do. You're just waiting for somebody to tell you you're okay where you're at. And it just don't happen.
You're right.
It just don't happen.
You're right.
You're waiting for somebody else to come along and tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
You know what you're supposed to do if God gave you faith.
Yeah. Amen.
So what do? Just do it. What about the circumstances? What about not doing it?
There you go.
Think about the end of rebelling against God in unbelief. That's far more dangerous,
yeah.
Than what you may experience in this life, because you stand up for the truth of God and say enough's enough.
There you go.
That's right. Am I clear? Clear. Mac, would you close us in prayer and give thanks for our food and stuff, please?
Father, we thank thee for this hour being spent. We pray that you will just give us strength to hold on to the gospel of Jesus,
yes,
Christ.
God.
Teach us how to love one another. Teach us more about your love through studying of the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'll take this food. Use it for the nourishment of our body. Bless the ones that prepared it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You're welcome.